Americas, live and underway here on ESPN Plus in the immediate aftermath of the 2022 World Cup's penultimate match. This is our penultimate live show from here in Doha. Hercules Gomez, how are you doing? And this time I really mean it. What are you wearing?
Just a little something I picked up in the
Show it off. Show it off. With pride.
Verticality.
Berhalter ball. Look at you. For all the trash you talk, you're a Berhaltista at heart.
Something like that.
Yeah. You're a lot of things at heart.
No, he did a lot of good.
He did a lot of good.
If you know, you know. I will say that about
this. You know. Okay, so obviously, you know where I stand on the Super League idea. We'll touch on this a little bit later on in the show.
Oh.
And I got the Ted Lasso jacket as
well. Why would you need to boycott the Super League if it's no Super League?
Boycott the idea. Even the suggestion offends me, Hercules Gomez, as so many other things tend to do here on Football
America. You
know
what I noticed?
Yes.
We don't have any time in the sun, you and I. We don't spend any time in the sun.
As evidenced by the picture that you put up on Twitter yesterday, and I don't spend any time in the gym either. Certainly not on the upper body. But anyway, that's a topic for another time. We got a lot coming up in this show. Morena Beltran is going to be back. She's going to give us kind of the Argentina side of the World Cup final preview. Our good buddy Julian Laurent, he's hustling back from the game that we just watched, Croatia against Morocco. He's going to give us the France side of the look ahead to tomorrow's World Cup final. And then I know you're going to love this. Gianni Infantino, FIFA president.
My man.
He's got a lot to say, and he's got a lot of ideas. We will comment on one of those very big ideas. But as I just mentioned, let's start with the game that we just witnessed her live. Croatia 2-1 winners over Morocco as Croatia claimed third place here at the 2022 World Cup. We're going to dive into this game and some of the performances, not just in this game for these two teams, but overall in the tournament. But I want to start by asking you something, Herc. What do you think of the third place game as an idea?
What do you mean as an idea?
Like, do you like it or do you hate it?
I like it.
Okay. Why? A lot of people don't like it.
Well, if you're Brazil, you wouldn't like this, right? If you're Argentina playing the third place game, you wouldn't like it. Mm-hmm. If you're France, you probably wouldn't like it. But I think both of these teams, and I mean this with the utmost respect, mm-hmm. Croatia and Morocco take pride in what they've done, take pride in this tournament, and they want to end it on a good note. It's still for them podium. It's still for them a medal, a trophy, a great accomplishment. So, yeah, I like the idea of this game. We went to the game. Nothing about this was a third-place game. There were some hard tackles.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of intensity. The crowd was amazing.
I think that people always kind of go back, especially in this day and age, to like player safety. There's so many games. Do you really need another match?
Right.
And you might think a guy like Luka Modric at 37 wouldn't have played maybe in this game.
Ask those players if they want another match.
So that's the thing, I think, to me, and I was kind of like, you know, I'll pull the curtain back a little bit here. It's been tough to get tickets, right? especially for us from the bosses at ESPN. There's a pecking
Shots
order.
Fired.
No, there's a pecking order. I understand it. They're going to give a ticket to Hugo Sanchez before they're going to give it to you, and they're going to give you a ticket way before they give it to me. So we've been busy, right? Our show comes on after the
I think that's it.
Last game of the day.
Don't count yourself short. We're like literally we have to be here as soon as the show or as soon as the last game's over.
When the opportunity to go to the third place game comes around, I don't speak for you, but we were kind of like, well, should we? And you go, and then you see the intensity at which Morocco played, right?
Croatia.
They were in the ref's face every 5 seconds. Maybe that has something to do with the refereeing of this match.
Was
then you
good?
See, for me, what was very interesting is the Croatia reaction, the final whistle. The guys were literally on the sideline anticipating the end of the match. They stormed the field as though they'd won the tournament. I think you very much see the value and the meaning of it there.
You've played soccer growing up, football growing up.
Not very well, but thank you.
But you've been on plenty of teams. You know what that bond is like.
Yeah.
Whether it's a youth tournament, whether it's your college tournament, whatever the case may be, the feeling of achieving something together, of seeing it out, that's what it's about. And trust me, I am one of those that's like, how many more games do you want in here? How many more games can you squeeze in there? But if there is one thing when it comes to national teams that you will do whatever for, break your back for, it's the World Cup.
Yeah.
If you would have said, hey, man, sorry, you can go home after the fourth game where we could extend you by two more games, but you're not going to win the final. Give me those two more games.
Like you said, third place just sounds so much better than fourth place. And something that's very fun about third place games, you get a lot of goals. Over the last 10 World Cups, The third place game averages almost 4 goals a game, Herc. And we got 2 in the first 10 minutes of this one, which really kind of opened up the match. In the end, Croatia wins. Deserved?
Yeah, deserved. For how this game went.
Yeah.
Right? One could say, man, Morocco really deserved to go home with some hardware.
Totally.
Really
for all they brought to the tournament, for all their fans brought to the tournament.
For what they did on the field. There is no team. Mm-hmm. There is no team with a harder road to the final than Morocco.
Sure.
Yep. No, to the final.
I'm not going to nitpick, but they didn't make
it. To get to the final. There is no, because they didn't win. But what I'm saying, there is no team with a harder road. Because you look at it, they had they were one of 2 semifinalists in their own group. They had the CONCACAF champion, the team that won CONCACAF World Cup qualifying, and Belgium's Golden Generation.
Yep.
You beat that, you get out of the group, and who do you have to face?
You win that group.
You win it, by the way, and you've got to face Spain, a team that many thought had a chance of winning this World Cup.
I picked them as kind of my dark horse.
Okay. Gone.
Gone.
And then after that, it's Cristiano Ronaldo and that very talented
Ronaldo on the bench.
And that very talented Portuguese team. You beat them. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just Kylian Mbappe and the defending champions of the world in France. So that road to the final, like I said, was the most difficult for anybody by far.
It deserved a third place medal, you're saying. But in the end, I think
it
Croatia
deserved a little ribbon.
Right. It clearly
you had to tie a bow on it, right?
Yeah. Croatia, for me, was clearly the better team tonight. And I think we also have to acknowledge that they won again on the road. You and I have not been able to be at a Morocco match.
Right.
And live that fan base. We've heard 90-10. We've heard it's the loudest you've ever heard a football stadium in a World Cup. This was a third place match. And
what would you say it was? Maybe 80-20? Because I saw a good section of Croatian fans.
The Croatian fans stand out because the uniform is so recognizable and they're all wearing the
awesome
checkers.
Uniform.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Somebody give me a throwback,
I would be shocked if it wasn't more than 80-20, to be honest.
Yeah.
It felt very much Morocco. And I actually think I would have loved to have been there for, not a game that matters because this game mattered, but a real knockout game, the round of 16 or the quarterfinal game, because I did feel like it was loud, but it wasn't as intense. I think there was a little bit more joy and relaxation from the Moroccan
the
fans. But they were loud,
the
man.
Air. They were very loud.
Yeah.
They were very loud. We sat in front of a guy who, during the national anthem, was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
National anthem, top of his lungs. It was a sight to be seen. Honestly, if I had to do a World Cup ranking of fans, which I may do one day,
they just cracked
the top 5.
Okay. Let's talk.
All time that I've seen.
Let's talk man of the match. Sure. Who was it for you?
You know, let me explain with my man of the match, okay? Because Kovacic was my favorite player on the field.
Yeah. He's got that dog in him, huh?
He got that dog and he's a little tank, too.
Yeah.
And he's so good, so clean on the ball.
Like, it's rare you get that guy who's that physical and also that technical.
But I didn't pick him.
Why?
I went Luka Modric. And maybe my heart's taken over here.
Yeah, this is like more career achievements.
This is maybe me paying my respects to him of what he's done. He had over 90%. Look at that, 93% passing today.
That's probably a bad day at the office for him.
It may be a bad day at the office, but he was all over the field. Gets in and out of play so quickly. Box to box. He's 37 years old, and he's playing in the 7th game of the tournament. Mm-hmm. You know how crazy that is?
Yeah.
You know how crazy that is? We've been here for like, 35 days, 36 days? This guy's been playing for a good 25 of those, and he's already got 7 games. That is insane to me. To put in perspective how good this man is, we will probably never see another midfielder of those traits. With such quality on the ball, such finesse. Anytime you see him, he stands out. Right foot, left foot, in, out, churning, cutting, defending, box to box, a presence, leadership. Impact in the final third. He really is a complete player. And it's going to be a long time until we see a player with the ability of a Luka Modric. And to say we were there, that final game.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool. Yeah.
So you're kind of going career achievement. If I were to think of Croatia and think tournament achievement, I would have to acknowledge their goalie, Dominik Livakovic. Okay. I mean, he was amazing throughout the tournament.
He was good.
I thought maybe on the Morocco goal tonight, he might have been a little bit at fault. You didn't see it that way.
So,
but against Brazil, 10 saves.
Ridiculous.
The heroics in the penalty shootout. And it's a guy who, you know, with all due respect to the Croatian league, he's not in one of the biggest leagues in Europe. And
Zagreb.
It's interesting about Croatia. There's a lot of guys on their roster that are not at that elite level.
Right.
There's 6 guys
that
play in Croatia.
He's at Zagreb as well.
He's a Croatian league player. There's guys in, like, Russia, Greece, Austria. Which drives me to this next question, because we kind of talked about it at the stadium. Christian Pulisic has, you know, some Croatian background.
Of course he does.
What kind of minutes do you think he'd get on this Croatia
First of all, he'd be Pulisic over there.
Right.
Not Pulisic.
Yeah.
Interesting question. Yeah. Because we were asking ourselves that question. I mean, listen, if you're playing at Chelsea or in that roster and cracking that lineup, you're probably going to get a shot on the Croatian national team.
Yes, of course.
I think he'd be in the mix. But at the rate that this team plays, with how they all have to be intense on both sides of the ball, I don't know if Christian's a starter.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, think about the big impact players who are up front. Mm-hmm. Perisic is probably who we be battling with, right?
And then we saw Mislav Orsic hit that.
And then Orsic comes
in. What a golazo. My goodness.
We're not comparing resumes. I'm comparing intensity of players for the style of Croatia.
Right. You just think he might not be the ideal fit for the way that they play.
Correct.
He's good enough.
Of course he's good enough.
But like,
of course he's good enough.
Probably another name to mention, too, is Gvardiol.
Gvardiol
who had the you know, the nightmare moment in the semifinal, but that beautiful set
hold
piece.
Hold on a second.
And he gets the first goal
nightmare
there.
Moment?
Sure.
Was it really a nightmare moment?
Right.
It's a nightmare because it's Messi who skins you, but you do everything right, everything you're taught to do.
Sure. You're just on the...
You're just on the wrong end of one of the greatest players to ever play the game.
Right. We talk about this all the time in our profession. When you go viral, it can either be really, really good or it can be because really, really bad. Right. In that case, it was bad for Gvardiol, but had an amazing tournament.
It was bad for Croatia. I mean, Gvardiol is still an amazing player. His goal today, they say two headers in the box equals a goal.
Yeah.
That was such a well-worked play. They knew exactly how they were going to execute it, and Gvardiol, even the header, it almost started like bending, and it was perfectly timed, perfectly executed.
All right, let's move on from Croatia. Let's give Morocco their flowers. What's the big lesson learned here from Morocco's run to the semifinal? First ever African team to make it this far in the tournament.
I want you to repeat something you said to me before the game kicked off. We were talking about Morocco, and you mentioned something the coach said in the presser.
Yes, so Walid Regragui, right? Yeah. He... I was asked this question on SportsCenter today, you know, kind of put Morocco's run into context. And he kind of pointed out that Europeans like to think of African teams as these teams that have fun, that play fun soccer, but eventually get knocked out. And he wanted to change that image. He wanted to say, you know, we are going to be different. We're not trying to appease you. We're trying to advance. And it was very clear what their setup was. Some might call it negative. Some might call it pragmatic. But it was very effective. They knocked out the teams you mentioned. And then in knockout football, they took down Spain, recent World Cup champion. They took down Portugal, you know, by all measures, a powerhouse.
Champion.
Right. And when it comes to producing talent. So they really, I think, showed... And I think this applies not just to teams from Africa, to teams from Asia, even to teams from North America, like U.S. and Mexico. Pragmatic soccer works in these tournaments. And I know everybody wants to play al tu por tu. But I don't know that if when you play the big boys, playing al tu por tu is the way to advance.
Right. Do you remember when I spoke about Canada? Mm-hmm. And I said, I honestly think Canada can get out of their group. Mm-hmm. And you asked me why. I was like, well, I think in a tournament setting, they can play a style that's conducive for a tournament setting. Mm-hmm. You have a young team, a fit team. You have a team that can be pragmatic.
Can hit you on the counter.
Hit you on the counter at pace. They have all those elements, right? They kind of betrayed that with John Herdman in this tournament. They tried playing it for two for two.
Mostly the Croatia game, yeah.
Yeah, and it hurt them, and hurt them bad. Morocco doesn't have, and I say this with all due respect, they don't have that one world-class player.
Hakimi's
pretty
good.
Okay. Hakimi's on Pulisic's level if you look at it. I mean, think about it. Let me explain myself. He's got more of a history, Ajax, Champions League, all that.
Right.
But I'm talking about where they are in the last year and a half, 2 years of trying to crack into that lineup, get playing time.
PSG, I mean, that's...
Oh, I'm sorry, you said Hakimi. Yes, you're correct there.
Yeah,
yes.
Yep.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Yeah, you're right. For a right back, he is world-class. Yeah.
So that's one, but that's one.
Your world-class players are right back, right?
You hate right backs. Noted. What position do I play? Right back. Got it.
Probably be like corners in football.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. So what I'm trying to get at is you've got more of a base to go pragmatic, more of a base to go disciplined, and try to nullify an opponent's game instead of imposing your game. And when I have to be very careful when I talk about this because you said it right now, negative football. I'm not saying that's negative.
No.
That's not negative at all. That's
it might not be aesthetically pleasing. Right.
To everybody. There are some people who enjoy a team like that. I enjoy seeing a team with that fight, with that commitment, that's technically sound on the ball but doesn't compromise itself going forward. Picks its spots. Picks its battles. that can do very well in a tournament setting, because probably if they play 34 games in a regular season, if they're a club team, they're probably not going to win a regular season. But in a seven-game tournament, you can be very effective. So there is something to be said about that.
Is this a model for those outside the traditional corridors of power in world football?
That's the only way,
outside of Europe?
It's the only way.
So let's spin it back to CONCACAF.
But why is it the only way, really quickly?
Because you don't have the high-end quality
players.
You don't have the Mbappes.
You don't have the Griezmanns. You don't even have a Giroud. You don't have a Tchouaméni. You don't have that type of player.
Mexico has this pride thing, this ADN. We want to play our two por two, and that's why I think they've never gotten to the quarterfinal, right, in this run since 94. Because at the end of the day, when you try to go against the best of the best, and you're trying to play their game, 9 out of 10, you're going to lose. Can Mexico change what it does? And more importantly, kind of for a majority of our audience, can the U.S., who I think is trending towards trying to play al tu por tu, can they adjust and become a more pragmatic? Is that actually the best thing for American soccer?
Well, there are different ways of being pragmatic. You can be pragmatic behind the ball or pragmatic even
in front
of the
ball. I'm thinking of the U.S. in this tournament. They went toe-to-toe with England. They went toe-to-toe with Netherlands.
Fine.
You know, is that the best way for the U.S.?
They're not there yet.
So should they copy
what
Morocco
did? They're not there yet in player pool. Right. You've got some very good players, and your players are cracking in some very good lineups.
But you compare the U.S. pool probably to the Morocco pool, right?
Very much so. Very much so. Now, let me compare the Mexican pool to the Dutch pool, okay?
Okay.
Because of style, okay? That pool, historically, with all the world-class players that have come and gone through that pool, they've played their way, their style, and they've come very close, but they've never won a World Cup.
Okay.
Okay? Mexico is still light years behind the Netherlands in terms of producing and having that type of player. So you must find a formula where you can compete versus those type of players. And I'm not just saying one game. You can win one game. But in a World Cup setting, it's you've got to at least win or advance in five of those games.
Okay. So that's it for the third place game. Croatia 2-1 winners over Morocco. Congratulations to Croatia on finishing third. Congratulations to Morocco on all that they did bring to this World Cup.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Perk, it is now time to focus on tomorrow's big showdown, Argentina versus France in the World Cup final. Argentina seemingly at full strength as they prepare for tomorrow's final against France. Fifth World Cup final for Argentina, of course, two wins coming back in 1978 on home soil and 1986 in Mexico. Will this be Argentina's third star? Will it be Lionel Messi's long-awaited World Cup title? Let's hear from Lionel Scaloni and Dibu Martinez. Match day, minus one.
El partido de mañana es Argentina contra Francia, es indudable eso, más allá de Messi y de Mbappé. Creemos que ambos tenemos las armas necesarias como para que el partido lo puedan decidir otros jugadores y no necesariamente ellos dos. De nuestra parte, Leo está bien y esperemos que caiga de nuestro lado. Pero es un partido entre Argentina y Francia y de sobra hay jugadores que puedan decidir el partido.
Fue un camino difícil, pero nosotros dijimos después de Arabia que no íbamos a dejar al país en malas condiciones, que íbamos a dar todo por jugar una final del mundo y estamos a un paso. Lo veo feliz, obviamente, como todo argentino, como se está viendo en la cancha. Yo vi un gran Leo en la Copa América, un jugador que la verdad que fue de lo mejor que vi en mi vida en la Copa América, pero en este Mundial yo creo que dio un paso más adelante a esa Copa América. Lo veo mucho mejor físicamente y futbolísticamente. Y era difícil superar al Messi de la Copa América. Lo veo bien y eso nos genera mucha energía al equipo, teniéndolo al mejor con ganas y con alegría. Nos ayuda muchísimo.
Time now to welcome back to the show, Morena Beltrán of ESPN Argentina. More, great to have you, as always, here on Football America.
She asked for this, by the way. Es muy cabalera. She's very superstitious. We got to do this again.
Yeah. So I want to actually touch on that first. You mentioned the term cabala, kind of superstition.
Yeah.
When you've been on the show, Argentina has advanced. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Is there another cabala with Argentina that before big games, they like to put out Dibu Martinez in the press conference? Ooh. Because it seems like whenever they throw him out there, they do win.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dibu appeared or was chosen at the last press conference in the Copa America 2021. Mm-hmm. Then the day before, we won the Finalissima.
Mm-hmm. And Italy, yeah.
Today, I think it's not a coincidence, right?
Yep.
That he appears with Scannoli to the press conference. So maybe, yes, they want to respect that. I think also the jersey and the mm-hmm. on the shirt that we're going to use are the same at the last two games, and also the times that we use the alternative mm-hmm. jersey,
yeah,
we lose.
Ooh, okay.
So
see, that
we use
los
now,
detalles,
yeah at the 90s and 2014.
Interesting.
So they're going traditional,
right?
Okay. Yeah. So 78, 86.
Those are in the classic blue and whites, of course. So tell me a little bit, because we've had this influx of folks from Argentina over the last, I don't know, couple days, kind of come into the country. Obviously, the fans are very hopeful. There's a good energy there. What about across the way here, just on the other side of that wall, the ESPN Argentina set? How would you describe the confidence level from your colleagues ahead of the final?
The conference?
Confidence. ¿Qué confianza tienen tus colegas? Sí.
I think we have all the confidence.
Yeah.
I think we already had it when we lost against South Arabian. We didn't lose that hope because we really believe that the team has the weapons, as Scaloni said, and in every aspect to be competitive in the World Cup, in the mental side, in the tactical side, on the physical side. I think we have some issues. I think every team had it, but I think Argentina is one of the of the best teams, like como se dice en la lectura.
Reading the game.
Yeah, like reading the games. I think Argentina now it's another team. Like, it's more complete. It has more elements, and I think that it's very important. Flexibilidad. Mm-hmm.
See? Flexibility.
Yeah, like to be
flexible.
Like, yeah, flexible in every game.
Would you go as far as to say Argentina are favorites tomorrow?
No. No. Do
they feel favorites, though? Does Argentina feel favorites? No.
I think no. I think that, like, the Scaloni always mentioned, and I think the message to the group is like to have a low profile, mm-hmm. say like that. So I think
flying under the radar, right. We kind of say, yeah.
Okay, that I think also we like our. The players, like when some opponents like feel themselves confidence, yep, and with that strength. I think they use that against, for example, Netherlands. Mm. And I think it's like combustible.
Yeah, it's like that fire, that gas.
It's a motivator.
Yeah, yeah, it's a motivator, for sure. Yeah.
I'm just curious. When it comes to the fan base, is there... There's not that confidence, you said, but is there a sense of maybe nervousness, like, oh, man, this has to be it?
Yeah, of course. Of course. But I think this team has achieved something that in football, in soccer, it's really difficult. And it's like to value the process. Mm-hmm. I think we are all proud for what Argentina made in this World Cup. I think the fans, the people that came here, we are really proud of this team, and we feel that union.
Yeah,
union, like in 2014 or maybe before. It's like that connection is really strong, and I think they achieved something that maybe would be, or it's something better for the pressure, because I think of course they have pressure, mm-hmm. of course, but they are going to be on the pitch like saying, okay, we did a good work here.
Right. So France has a lot of injury issues, health issues. Argentina seems pretty healthy, but one player that you have highlighted that you said is very important is Angel Di Maria.
Yeah.
What's the latest with him, and what do you expect his role to be tomorrow?
Oh, I think, Di Maria, it's really important for the team. I think it would be a mental match. I think if Argentina want to beat France in, how do you say, pulseada?
In the moments.
Like, in the moments. Di Maria, it's very special because we need that weapon to hurt the... Because France has a weakness and a real strength on his left side.
Okay.
Right? Because Mbappé doesn't go back. And I think Argentina has to have someone with Hernandez. Like always, when he received the ball, he attacked him. And I think Di Maria is the perfect player. But I also think Scaloni would want to make to add another defender.
Is he fit? Is Angel Di Maria fit enough to start?
Yeah. He's 100% in, but I think it's a tactical decision. Today, Scaloni proved again two teams. The first one with Lisandro Martinez.
Right.
And the second one with Di Maria.
Just going back to what you said about Kylian Mbappe's side. Actually, Rio Ferdinand, it was this week that explained that he feels it's actually on that left-hand side with Mbappe and Theo Hernandez where they can hurt this French team because of those spaces you just said Kylian Mbappe will afford.
Real quick, Theo Hernandez is one of the guys that's carrying a knock into this final.
Oh, knee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Di Maria would be really important. I don't know if finally Scaloni will make will bid for
a third.
Center back.
So let's assume here that the whites are Argentina. I think blues are France.
Okay.
The dark blues. So if this is Argentina, what setup do you expect? Because we have seen both two center backs and three center backs.
Oh, I think Argentina, if Lisandro Martinez plays, that I think today is the like the option that sounds. Like,
most possible.
Yeah, more possible. I think, of course, will be another center back, and I think Argentina would again. Your friends, Acuña and Molina.
That's right. My buddy's on the left hand side.
Yeah, would have a really important role, right?
Okay, so if it's three center backs, you have Otamendi, you have Lisandro,
and Romero.
Perfect. Yeah. We're fine there. Okay.
Okay.
Angel Di Maria has no place if it's three center backs, is what you're telling me. Okay, so Angel Di Maria would be out.
Yeah.
That is one.
That's one option. I think the best would be that Di Maria plays, so it would be like this. And Leo with freedom here, but it would be more like this if Di Maria plays, right? And they can make that 2-1 with Molina and Theo, or have someone that you know that will always attack and makes the defense suffer.
Which setup helps you contain Mbappe more? Right. Two center backs or three center backs?
Oh, that's the point, I think, right? I think Scaloni, he decides on this tactical...
Yeah. Setup. Yes.
Setup.
Formation, yeah.
Thank you. Setup. Because I think he believes that maybe France can make some damage with that third midfielder that could be Griezmann, right? But he also makes some movements over here with Dembele. So maybe I think if they have Giroud, they have Dembele, here is Griezmann, and here is Kylian Mbappé, I think he wants an extra defender for this situation.
Right.
This situation that Lisandro Martinez and Cuti Romero are really aggressive, so maybe if they can do like man-to-man.
Right.
And you have here this help if Kylian Mbappé comes here or Dembélé, of course, come here, they have this help, right?
Okay. Now, one of the ways that Argentina hurt Croatia was they went four across.
Yeah.
And it was two up front, right?
Yeah.
And these four here were central players.
Yeah.
Enzo, McAllister, DePaul, Paredes.
Yes, on Paredes.
So they almost sat and protected, which gave Leo the freedom because Julian would come back and help as well.
Of course.
That's how they hurt. That's how they got the best out of Leo Messi. How can you get the best to hurt France?
Oh, I think that setup was because Croatia has like
a strong midfield, right?
Yeah, a really strong midfielder. Yeah, you can see that DePaul and Alexis tried, of course, in some situations they have to go with the lateral.
Yes, the fullback.
With the fullback, but they always try to be with Brozovic, Modric, and Kovacic.
Uh-huh.
They try to have people here with Julian also. Messi, I don't count him.
Right.
But he always...
He's roaming, yes.
Yeah. But with Julian too. But they want to have so much people here so they don't...
Protect
that zone. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So they don't have freedom in this area. But Kovacic played an amazing match for me. And they still hurt us. But I think the plan was that. And you see, like, Tagliafico and Molina had the la tarea...
Yeah, they had their homework.
The job
to go right directly with the, for example, if the I don't know,
winger.
Yeah, the winger went inside. They didn't come with the winger. They have to wait and come with him, and
right.
then they make this movement with Paredes between the center backs because they wanted to have always superiority here.
Right.
They didn't want to. So I think that Croatia was punctual, but today I think Argentina could have superiority in the midfielder more easily because they have Tchouaméni and Rabiot or Tchouaméni and Fofana only. So I think this 3-2 could be easier to find, right? Also with Leo coming there. So and also you have, and that's really important, I think, you have like this. You have the Lisandro Martinez and Cuti Romero. They are really aggressive with this, with their paces and their... They go with the ball, and I think that is a solution for the midfielders too. You have Enzo a little bit more...
advanced.
Yeah, advanced, that if he plays between the center backs, right? So I think Argentina with this setup, I think it has really good matches. Good work.
I'm not exaggerating when I say we are right next to the ESPN Argentina
you can hear them
realize it.
Bleeding through our microphones a little bit. Let's talk about Messi, because I feel like, especially for people from Argentina and really all over the world, there's a natural, obvious comparison to Diego Maradona. If Argentina win tomorrow, does Messi reach Maradona status in Argentina?
Oh, I think he already reached it.
Really?
Yeah, I really think. I think that...
Is that a generational thing or...?
It's generational, and I think it's also time that put the things in the right place.
Perspective, right?
Yeah, it helped you to have perspective, and I think the ones that didn't value and appreciate Leo with time, they learned to do it. I think if someone want to make that comparison in a negative sense, it's because they want to have attention.
Right.
They want to have a little bit of camera and
they're probably living in the past, really, right?
He's already achieved everything he can achieve. If you think about it, the only missing right now is the World Cup.
Yeah, and it's like Leo, it's been on the toppest, like for 15 years.
Right,
it's so crazy.
Yeah, if you can't recognize it, and if you think you have to choose between one or the other, you are blind, and you don't want your country because it's a huge privilege that we have to have Maradona and Leo in our country.
I have a couple, my best friends. Two of my best friends in the world. I know, Herc, it's hard for you to imagine that I have friends. They're from Argentina, right? They're in the United States, but they're from Argentina.
Okay.
And both of them, they're my age, so they really didn't have... Shout out, Nico. Shout out, Sebi. Uh-huh. They didn't really have Maradona. They really didn't live 86.
No, but if you're Argentine, you have Maradona.
No, but
right?
I know. But they didn't really... They didn't live that, so to say. And for a long time, these two guys were very, very critical of Messi, and there was always that comparison. But to your point, I think that criticism has died down a lot in recent years.
I don't know if you'd agree with this, but Messi sometimes doesn't feel Argentine. Do you know what I mean? Like, and let me be respectful with this, okay? Argentines in world football, they have a certain swagger to them, a certain belief. There's a certain reputation that comes with the Argentine footballer. Messi's always been anti that, so... They've called him pecho frío. They've said that he's lukewarm with the blood, like it doesn't course through his veins like a normal Argentine. Yet we see how he acted after the Netherlands game. People are like, that's the Messi I want. That's the Messi I want to see. But he's just done things differently for 15 years and at the top for 15 years. And in a way, with all due respect to Maradona, that's been drama-free. That's been free of controversy.
Yeah, I just think in the comparison to Maradona's career was amazing, but if we compare certainly at the club level and even at the international level, it was a much briefer window.
Right.
The high was great,
but
what Messi has done, he's been literally, if you go back to the Ballon d'Ors, he finishes in the top three, and the first time is 2007. That was 15
and
years
since
ago,
then,
and he's
just,
still there.
He just dropped out of the top, I think, 10 for the first time in 15-something years.
And he'll be right back there. Listen, he'll be right back there.
You can see World Cup games played, most goals for Argentina, most goals for Barcelona, most goals in La Liga.
Every record.
Every record you can possibly think of, he has. It's in his name. The only thing missing for those naysayers is the World Cup. But once he has that World Cup, we're not talking Maradona. We're not just talking Maradona. The comparisons would be all-time. For everybody.
Yeah, I think
Leo and Diego are the perfect example that we can have different gods.
Yes, like, I like that.
Yeah, because they have really different personalities. I think Diego always has had that spirit of justice, of want to fight for the best of the country. And we can't forget that Argentina in that World Cup, there were a lot of ¿cómo se dice guerra?
War.
There were a lot of war problems. It was another world. We have that issues with England. So it was like the full representation of an entire country, like making revenge with Diego. And Diego with that spirit and personality that he wants to fight them. He wants to be on the name of them. So he made the hand of God, not for any reason. So I think they have a really different personality. I think Leo is also really valued and recognized because of his personality also. And I think we don't have to compare them. We have always that need of compare if someone has to do on other way. No, let them be the way they are because they are
just
the best.
Enjoy them, right?
Yeah, just the way they are. And I think I repeat, maybe what make noise are the criticize, but I think in Argentina they've always been the less right, the less crowd that criticize Leo.
They've been the minority, right?
The minority. I really think we are really, really enjoying him, and we always did, and we always support him, and we always been really proud, and we cried when he left the national team, and we are. If we want Argentina wins this title, of course it's because our country. Of course we want another star here, but it's for him. We want that Argentina makes it because of Leo Messi, no doubt.
So I think I got this right. He's played in six international. This will be his sixth international.
This will be his sixth
with Argentina. He's only won one of the first five. Before I ask you this, I want to ask you this. Hmm. Does that matter tomorrow? Does that history matter tomorrow? Pesa?
It does for the players.
Really?
Yeah.
In a good way or a bad way? Like, does it motivate the Argentina players to win it for Messi?
Well, if you have a good record, I'm sure it'll leave you a little bit more settled.
Okay.
But if you've got a negative record, and I don't care who you are, that's going to weigh on you. You're going to think about that.
Now, the last one they played and they won.
They did.
Does that matter more than the one out of five?
Yes, because it's the most recent, right?
A lot of the same guys.
And you could even say the finalissima with Italy. Yeah. You can say, hey, we've got some momentum going here. If you're Messi or a Messi detractor, you will point out or should feel that in those finals he's played, he's never really been a factor on the score sheet.
Never taken over.
That doesn't mean he didn't play well.
Right.
You could argue that 2014...
Right.
That was Messi's tournament, and Messi's teammates let him down. And it's a team sport, and I understand that, but you could argue there's no way you can argue that with that performance alone. But the reality is 2007, they got lost 3-0. He was a teenager, lost 3-0 to Brazil in the Copa America. Two penalty kick shootouts, a World Cup versus Germany, and then it is this Copa America that they win, but Messi doesn't really factor in the score sheet, right? So you have to assume if they do something, lift that trophy, it's del pie izquierdo de Messi. It's because Messi's left foot. In some way, shape, or form, you have to assume that. But if you're Argentine, I would imagine it still weighs on you because of that history.
Do you think it matters for the players ahead of tomorrow's game?
Yeah, but I think in a positive way, right? I think I listened her, Patricia Bra, saying something that for me was marvelous, was excellent. And he said, I think Argentina players are ready to die in field because of Leo Messi.
Right, for him.
For him.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Leo Messi. And I think that's the reflect of what's going on, because you see them, you saw the celebration right there in the moment that the Copa America finished.
Yeah. Like Neymar with Messi.
Yeah, yeah, but they were like, he was crying. They were all together with him. They went running to hug him and celebrate with him. So I think it's an extra motivation for their partners. I agree that Messi didn't play the best final with Brazil, against Brazil, and I think the team like went there and said, okay,
my
captain can have a bad match. But here in the World Cup was really different. I think Messi was a key in every game. In every game. Yeah,
he's been a factor so far.
Yeah,
in
he sold the matches. But of course, I don't think like that figure, it's like the one that saves the team, because I think the team went with him. But I think he sold them. So I think he have a really different workout. Of course, he can have tomorrow a normal performance or a bad performance.
Right.
I hope not. But I think the
Argentina
team is
won't
ready.
Care as long as
I
they win, right?
The team is ready to respond.
Yeah.
All right, Morena Beltran, it's been great having you here on Football Americas. I hope the Kabbalah continues for not just for you, for our colleagues over there, and for my good buddies from Argentina as well. Thank you so much for
the
time.
Thank you so much, guys. And I hope you invite me when we come back to normality.
Of course, of course. You are always welcome. Always welcome here on Football Americas. Morena Beltran, you can find her on social media and also catch her fine work if you're ever down in Argentina on ESPN Argentina.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So here's a look at the fewest shots allowed entering the final in men's FIFA World Cups going all the way back to 1966. That seems like a...
Wow, I would not,
right?
Not have pegged this Argentina to be in that situation. Okay.
All right, let's talk France, and they've got some health issues. Rafael Varane and Ibrahim Konate are back in training despite suffering from flu-like symptoms. Kingsley Coman, still isolated. Of course, Dayot Upamecano and Adrian Rabiot, they missed the semifinal. They seem recovered. Let's hear now from Didier Deschamps and Hugo Lloris from today's press conference.
Merci de prendre soin de moi. Je vais bien. En ce qui concerne les joueurs, écoutez... Je suis parti assez tôt ce matin, donc ils étaient tous en train de dormir, donc j'ai pas les dernières infos. On fait en sorte de gérer au mieux dans la tranquillité par rapport aux différentes situations qui sont pas similaires, mais il y aura des données aujourd'hui, évidemment, j'en aurai.
J'ai pas plus de nouvelles que hier soir, j'ai croisé personne ce matin au petit déjeuner, tout le monde est encore en chambre. Mais certainement que vous aurez plus d'infos d'ici le prochain entraînement. Et concernant le virus, écoutez, on n'est jamais préparé à ce genre de choses, mais on essaie de se préparer de la meilleure des façons, tout simplement. C'est des aléas auxquels on n'était pas forcément préparé.
All right, so there are the words of the French manager and the French goalie. Worth noting as well, we kind of talked about it with Morena. Teo Hernandez is not the only one with, aside from the flu-like symptoms, an injury issue. Aurelien Tchouaméni as well. So, I mean, you start adding those names up, and that's a huge chunk of this French squad,
insane.
Especially if you talk about the defense, right? Teo Hernandez, and then I think of the five guys who have been reported to have flu-like symptoms over the last 5 days. Three of them have started at least one game in the French defense in this tournament. The idea that this French defense is going to be anywhere close to 100%, I think is kind of far-fetched.
The midfield as well, because Rabiot missed time last game. So let me explain why this is relevant at all. The one place I thought they had an advantage in, for sure, was in how fresh they would be, Seb. You look at them having the luxury of resting a majority of their players versus Tunisia, right? They had that luxury, and now it's taken away from them by illness. And so, well, it's just a cold. Well, whatever. It's just a little flu. Whatever. It's just a stomach bug. No, what happens is when you're injured like that, or excuse me, when you're sick like that, you're depleted physically. You're dehydrated. So now something they had going in their favor against Argentina is now going against them. This is big, and it's unfortunate because you want to see the best players in a final.
Yeah, so we mentioned at the top of the show we were hoping to have Julien Laurent on. He got caught up at the stadium after the third place match. He's not going to be able to join us. He sends his regrets. But we got plenty to talk about when it comes to France. Of the guys who are out, sick, whatever you want to call it, who for you would be like the biggest worry from a France perspective?
So many.
Really?
Yeah.
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 He's been good.
He's
big
been
goal against
very
England.
Good. Yeah. No, he's just been very good. Like, think about it. You're thinking, who's going to replace Pogba? You right. know, you're thinking, like, who's that?
Kante, right.
Kante in the center midfield. Like, it's been Tchouaméni, and he's been so good. And what was, for Didier Deschamps, an understudy role for him to be ready for 2026 turned into a prime role, and you're a contributor in 2022. I really feel if you compromise that center of the midfield, we don't know how Rabiot is going to come back, if he's fully fit or whatnot. But you're asking a lot more of Griezmann.
Right.
You're asking a lot more of whoever's next to Griezmann. It just feels like, especially, and I fully anticipate Scaloni trying to make them stronger in the midfield. And the way that Argentina's playing in the midfield, for me, it's been their strength, honestly.
I mean, they're throwing, like, they're just throwing bodies at it, right? It's
Enzo,
a numbers game.
Enzo, McAllister,
at some point, right?
Paredes, DePaul, like, that's a lot to try to be, that's a lot to try to deal with. They're overpower anybody.
So, as far as Lionel Messi is concerned, you're not going to stop him entirely. One, because he's just going to get on the ball a lot. Like, he has a penchant for getting on the ball in dangerous spots. What can France do? Who's ultimately responsible for limiting him?
You know what? It's funny. Now that you say that and I'm thinking about it, France has always been the team to, at least when they score, they just sit back. And they've scored early a lot.
Right.
But they sit back. Yeah. So who knows if that sitting back was already by design, right? But if you sit back on Leo Messi, is that really what you want to do? Do you just want to invite one of the best players to ever play the game to not have to work off the ball and just get the ball and go at you?
The best I can answer that question.
Get the ball and pull the string. You know what I mean?
The best I can answer that question is thinking what Mexico did against Messi. And the reality is people could say it worked for an hour.
I think it surprised Argentina, and that's why it worked.
But eventually, who broke them down?
It was Messi. And you could say it's a moment of brilliance, but it really was just an opportunity. It really just was a look that Messi took advantage of, because that's who Messi is.
Like, we're going to focus a lot on Messi. The whole conversation tomorrow is going to be Messi. But something that you just mentioned with More was very interesting. You talked about in 2014, right? I'll give you your flowers, that it was his teammates that let him down. Yeah. If there's one guy I'm circling on Argentina to not let Messi down, and if what I've seen from the tournament gives me an indication, it's Julian Alvarez.
Don't say it.
Two goals in the semi, four goals.
Why? Let the kid be.
Do you think he's positioned well to attack this French defense? Do you think he's the right guy for the job?
Yes, because I don't think his best traits have been the goals he scored.
Okay.
Okay? Does that sound weird?
Yes.
Because he's got four of them, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Some big ones.
Sure, big moments. Right? Maybe not big goals. You're like, oh my goodness, world-class goal. You know what I mean? Think about it. Against Australia, literally the goalkeeper comes out, he scores
one. The run against Croatia was pretty sweet.
Poland was a good finish. The run against Croatia should never happen, if you're thinking about it. Let me be honest.
Give the guy some credit.
No, I'm giving him credit. This is me giving him credit. But why do these things happen? This is I'm trying to get there. Why do they happen?
Because everybody's probably locked in on Messi or what?
No, because he works his tail off.
Right.
He is so intelligent in the way he pressures you, so intelligent in the way he does things for the team, on and off the ball. When he doesn't have the ball, he'll literally sit with a six. He will block that passage so Messi doesn't have to, so Messi is conserving his energy. So right there, he's already doing something that previous partners haven't. He's given Messi an out. He can score you that goal. But that's not why he's valuable here.
Right.
He's valuable to his Argentinian team for so many different reasons, and that's what I was trying to get at. You look at his goals, with the exception of the Poland goal, which I thought was a very good goal, the rest of the goals come in a circumstantial way, but that's the way it's supposed to come when you're working that way, when you are a Julian Alvarez. If you get those kind of goals, it's because you're doing the right things off the ball when you don't have the ball.
So after the group phase, and probably even after the round of 16, when he's got five goals through the first four games, I think most people would have looked at this France team and said, if they win the World Cup, not just golden boot, but golden ball, best player.
That's what they're playing for right now.
Goes to Kylian Mbappe.
Well, they're both playing for that.
Well, hold on, though. Is there a case to be made when it comes to France that it's not Mbappe, that it's actually Antoine Griezmann? I'll tell you why.
There's a case.
Okay.
There's a case.
For me, I'll just,
go
before
ahead.
I throw it to you.
Go ahead.
The best example of that case, or the strongest point in that case, the games get harder as you go on. And I think if you look at the quarterfinal and the semifinal.
Best player.
And so that, to me, is where he's caught up to Mbappe, at least in the golden ball conversation.
Absolutely. And he's been very good in a different position for Didier Deschamps.
I would say he's been, like, heroic in the way that he covers all
Morocco.
Of this ground.
Against Morocco, you saw Griezmann clearing balls out, like in his own box.
Yep.
The work rate was impressive. And listen, I'm not talking about the technical ability or things that he does in the box, because you already know this about Griezmann. What didn't you know about Griezmann? That he had that in him to put in a shift like that, to play like that in the center of the midfield, to dictate defensively a team's shape, to rescue your team at times? Well, he's shown you that. And if you're looking at the hardest games you just mentioned, the quarterfinal and the semifinal, well, he's been better than Kylian Mbappe. But when you choose these prizes, what do you go for?
A lot of times people go for star power and statistics.
And who has the star power and the statistics?
Between those two, very clearly Mbappe.
He has both.
Right.
So Kylian Mbappe today, everybody's talking about, could be the second World Cup that he has, and he's only 23 years old.
Yep.
He's already got 5 goals. He leads the tournament, 5 goals, 2 assists. Okay? He also caused both goals against Morocco, by the way. Okay? If he has whatever type of act that he has and he scores a goal, I don't care what happens. He scores a goal, France wins, he will be your golden ball. I don't see how they don't give it to him.
So to the idea you threw out there, like if France wins and if Mbappe has 2 World Cups before turning 24, he's on a trajectory, he's at a table that only one player has ever truly been at before. And actually, I think there's even a difference between him and Pelé, because if we go back to 58-62 with Pelé...
Are you going to trash the players in his era?
No. Okay. No, no, no. I'm going to say that Pelé's 62 World Cup was not dominant in the way that Messi's second World Cup was. He was hurt.
Okay.
He was injured. Like, Brazil wins 62...
Yeah, no, Mbappe. You said Messi.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
So, Pelé wins 62... Of course, he gets the title. He's part of the team.
Yeah, yeah.
But they kind of do it in the later stages without him.
Right, right.
Mbappe, that's not going to be the case with Mbappe,
no, no.
Right? So he's at a table all by himself.
Yeah.
And even the other guy at the table, he has something over him.
Yeah.
So when we
scored 4 last World Cup, he's got 5 this World Cup.
Right. But he's still only 23.
Right.
Is it too soon? Because we're about to say goodbye to Messi, right, at this level. Is it too soon to start having the Kylian Mbappe, forget greatest French player of all time. You'll add that up at the end of his career. But now to put him in the greatest of all time conversation, if they win.
I will say this. The best football is not played in the World Cup. Okay? That's a larger platform, but the best football is not played in the World Cup. The best football is played in the Champions League. Okay? How many Champions Leagues does Kylian Mbappe have?
How many did Pelé have? And people put him in the GOAT conversation anyway.
Okay.
Look at Maradona's club accomplishments.
But Messi, a lot of people consider him the GOAT, right?
Right. Because you could hang that on statistics.
A lot of people consider Cristiano Ronaldo one of the best of all time. So why do they consider? Because they've seen him do it in Europe, seen him dominate in Europe for so long. This is the next thing he has to conquer, which is European football, the Champions League, which he's going to be well on his way to doing, if we're being honest.
Right.
Right?
I mean, he's at one of the biggest clubs now, probably the biggest spending club, and the club he's linked to all the time is Real Madrid, who do nothing but hang banners.
Especially
in the Champions League, yeah.
Exactly.
Sorry, producer Beto Barcelona.
It did hurt him a lot. Look at him. He's in the corner crying. Mbappe wins this, he's already with that asterisk in that table. The asterisk being you collect, you hang up a few Champions League banners, and you're also consistent. Now, unfortunately for him and Erling Haaland, unfortunately for Kylian Mbappe and Erling Haaland, Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo have been so good, so dominant for 15 years. Unless you do it close to a decade, people are just going to forget.
Right. The bar is so impossibly
what
high.
What Cristiano and Messi have done is practically make it impossible for guys like Kylian Mbappe and Erling Haaland in the European level.
Right.
You have to be dominant for a decade at least if you want people to forget about these two.
So we were talking with More about, you know, if the history for Argentina in finals, whether we look at it as their record with Messi in finals or literally just the Copa America last summer, if that weighs in on tomorrow's game. We expect an atmosphere and a crowd tomorrow that will be very pro-Messi. yes. pro-Argentina.
Pro Messi is a good way to put it, yeah.
Do you think that that will have an impact on tomorrow's game?
I thought the 2014 crowd was very pro-Argentina as well. Right? Didn't impact in the way one would think. It's going to be tense. There are certain tensions that play in your favor, certain tensions that can go in your can go against you. Let's right. be honest. You talk about Mexico. Why was that Mexico game so difficult in the first 60 minutes for Argentina?
Because Mexico had literally every human being on the field behind the ball.
Well, besides that, it was how tense it was leading up to that.
Coming off the loss.
They're done.
Right.
They're done.
Yeah.
Their World Cup's over. The tension is all we heard about when we spoke to our colleagues. The tension, the tension. And people who were at the stadium, the tension, the tension. It wasn't until that first goal went in that it was released. It could be something like that tomorrow, where it's the tension that builds, that mounds, that makes it very difficult for Argentina.
Is there also something to be said from the French perspective about kind of having been there, done that? We know, I've spoken to Julian, I forget if it was on this show, I think he mentioned it on this show, but he also mentioned it on ESPN FC. There's not a huge France contingent, no. as far as fans go, that have traveled to this tournament. But even if you just look very recently at the semifinal, they literally played an away match. Not literally, figuratively played an away match against Morocco, yeah. and it didn't seem to bother them. I think it's not, there's no way it's going to be, if it was 90-10 Morocco v. France in the semifinal, I don't think it's going to be more than that Argentina over France in the final. So they should be comfortable playing effectively away from home, right?
I feel they will be more comfortable than Argentina. I mean, you have to assume they're already coming off winning a World Cup. They made it to the final again. They're, out of the two, the team that's dealt with the last drama this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
With less drama this tournament, I should say. I don't want to say they have less to lose because you're losing a World Cup and everybody wants to win a World Cup.
Right.
But out of the two, they're not behind the eight ball like Argentina. Think about Argentina. Argentina doesn't win this 2022,
sure.
and Leo Messi's gone. When's the next time you think they're thinking they're going to win? They are feeling they're going to win. If it's not with Messi, if it's not with one of the greatest of all time, when's the next time they have a chance to win? So there is definitely more pressure on Argentina.
All right, so we are definitely anticipating the final. France versus Argentina tomorrow, and we will, of course, be covering it for you right here on Football Americas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Of course, the World Cup, put on by FIFA. And we'll get to what FIFA's president has been saying in just a little bit. But here's a look at the most consecutive final appearances on the men's side of World Cup history. And of course, France has now made it to back-to-back finals in 2018 and 2022. The aforementioned Gianni Infantino. He has ideas, lots of them. And he was talking about them today. Key amongst them, expanding FIFA's Club World Cup. He wants to take it to 32 teams, Herc. 32 teams in 2025. Let's hear more details from the FIFA prez.
You certainly remember we had agreed a few years ago to have a new men's World Cup with 24 teams who should have taken place in 2021. This event was postponed because of COVID. The new men's Club World Cup will therefore take place in 2025 and will feature 32 teams, the best teams in the world. Of course, the details, slot allocation and so on still need to be discussed, agreed and decided, but the 32-team tournament will go ahead, making it really like a World Cup, like this World Cup of 32.
All right, Herc, a 32-team FIFA Club World Cup. Are you cool with it?
That's, what do you think, 3 weeks out of your schedule?
32-team tournament. I mean, this is a 32-team tournament. It lasted a month.
Right.
We've been here 35 days.
For us, I mean, those players have probably been here for, what, 20-something days? So, yeah, let's say 3 weeks, right? If you can squeeze it in, let's say 3 weeks.
Sure, if you're not one of the teams that makes the final, semifinal, whatever, yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Let's say you're a high-caliber European team, okay? So we're talking about whatever league you got, right? We're talking about, let's say you're in the Premier League.
Right.
FA Cup, Carabao Cup, Champions League, right? Then let's go national team for these players. You have the UEFA Nations League. You have the Euros and the World Cup. That's eight competitions you're in a year. Plus whatever friendly, Super Cup, Community Shield, whatever you want to throw in there, this new Super League they want to trot out. If I'm a player, and you can say what you want, oh, they're players, they should play more games. One, where's my cut of this? Two, what do you think I'm made of?
Right.
This is just inviting more injury. This is just a way to break players down and make money off of them.
What if I told you, Herc?
Go ahead.
The plan is to play in the United States. Does that change your opinion?
No. No. It doesn't change my opinion. I mean, yeah. Think about it. It'll be great for the teams that are here in the States or down in CONCACAF, but what about all these other teams? You're just going to add on a trip like that? Hey, look, it's... In theory, sure. Do it. Get rid of the Nations League.
Right.
Sure. Do it. Get rid of an internal competition for a league or two.
You got to sacrifice something,
You got to sacrifice a lot.
Right.
You got to sacrifice a lot. And in some point, these players have to get equity from FIFA.
Right.
Not from their teams, from FIFA. Their teams pay their salaries. What is FIFA paying for this?
Yeah. Well, I feel bad kind of throwing cold water on this idea because I think there's something to be said about, because you just, your example was Premier League, UEFA, it's very Eurocentric. And I think a lot of times when we think of the game, we do kind of focus our attention on Europe.
Go to CONCACAF if you want only.
Right, not to say that
you just took away one competition is all you did for me.
Right, but no. What I'm saying is, like, we think about it and we think, like, why? I think there's growth, like, we'll get to MLS, Liga MX. There's potential for growth from El Rose playing against kind of good teams. The reality is, I think, a Liverpool, a Man City, they're not bringing a good team to this, right? If they're forced to play in this, it's going to be a glorified ICC, which the ICC is a cool event. We love to have it in the United States. It packs stadiums. You can't deny that. People pay top dollar for those tickets, and maybe they will, but I think it's not what's best for the competition. It's not what's best for the athlete. And from a FIFA perspective, it's just more cash grab. And I'm so tired of the greed of this organization. It's like overwhelming at times. That's what this is to me. This is nothing more than a cash grab. They make a lot of money on Champions League and we don't. Well, let's make our own, like, watered down the global Champions League and then we'll collect the cash from it. Like, it's okay. Other people can make money on soccer,
too. You know what this is, right? Oh, you said no to the Super League?
Right.
No problem.
Right. We'll make one.
We can find something.
Yeah. Yeah. Just another thing I would like to point out here. Gianni Infantino, so many ideas. I think one thing he forgets is he's also in charge of the women's game. I think that's actually a problem. I think FIFA being in charge of the women's game is damaging to the women's game. He spent all this time trying to cook up this men's club World Cup. You know who could use a club World Cup? The women.
Right.
That would be much more beneficial to the women's game than this would be to the men's game.
Right.
And he's, we're going to start it. We're going to do it then. Mañana. No. Focus there. Build it there. Fine. Focus a little bit on the women's game in any other way. Like, how long have we known this World Cup's going to be in Qatar?
Yeah. For 12
years. 12 years?
Yeah.
When it comes to a women's World Cup, we find out 2-3 years ahead of time. That's embarrassing. And for all of the focus... And I get it. We're at the Men's World Cup right now. It's fine. But when you're the FIFA president, you got to talk about everybody. And it's clear what the priorities are here. It's not football. It's profit. And it's over and over and over again. And I'm sorry. The face of FIFA corruption may well be Sepp Blatter. But the face of FIFA greed, it's Gianni Infantino. Bottom line. All right. Speaking of the FIFA Club World Cup, we do have one, not with 32 teams, Herc. A much smaller tournament. And we finally know where it's going to be played. That's right. The 2023 FIFA Club World Cup will be played. Oh, some more momentum for Morocco in Morocco on February 1st through the 11th.
Not the first time.
No, the third time. They did it in 2013 and 2014. Now, it will be the first time Hercules Gomez
of there we
Sounders
go.
TV.
Woo! There them boys! You like that? Go ahead.
World Cup, who do you have in the World Cup?
France.
France?
Yeah.
I got Jamaica, they're still in, right?
set
that up. Me versus Roche. France, who, you could ask, we could set a little thing up on stake. Are you rolling with Roche? Are you rolling with Drake? I'll take Argentina, he'll take France.
I'll take France.
And we'll make that happen. That'll be a vibe.
All right. As we check the mentions here on Football Americas, are we witnessing the next edition of the Drake curse, Hercules Gomez?
I don't think this man knows what he's doing. He'll never sell another album in Argentina.
I mean, they asked him to pick. I guess maybe he sells more albums in France. Do you believe in that stuff?
Of course I do.
Superstition, Kabbalah. I mean, he's got a terrible record,
Canada, this
right?
World Cup.
Oh, yeah. They were even playing Drake in the stadiums, and it obviously did not go well. I mean, we pick on Drake, but at some point he's going to get one, right? This could be it.
Listen, this cycle he wore the Mexican jersey.
No, really?
Yes, yes. Producer Beto, back me up
That's
on this.
That's what it is. Okay, it's not the problems at FMF. It's not the problems at Liga MX. It's not the problems of exportation. Now I know who to blame.
You're telling me...
Drake!
You're telling me seven out of eight times
yes.
he doesn't wear the jersey and they qualify to the next round? The one time he wears the jersey, they'll qualify. I just told him about Canada. Yeah.
No, but in qualifying, how to go for Canada. He was rocking the jersey then, too.
Oh, no. That's not what he was worried about. Wait, this is people
okay.
are worried about this.
Okay. People don't worry about the example that Seb gives. They only worry about this. All right, let's get to our next question.
My man said Jamaica, by the way.
Check the mentions. You're on Football Americas, our penultimate show, by the way, here in Doha. Who's been your breakout player of this World Cup who will most likely sign with a big team in the near future? Interesting. Kurt, who are you going with?
I'm Rabat.
Ooh, okay, good shout. Yeah. I love that one.
Yeah, Fiorentina, good player. I think he's been probably the player of the tournament that's not named Leo Messi, Kylian Mbappe, and if you will, Griezmann, because that's been like the romantic choice for a lot of people, right?
But this is breakout, right? The guy you didn't know.
Yeah,
right.
No, but I'm talking about just like he's been that good. You can consider him like the player of the tournament. I mean, think about the road and how dominant he was in that road. It's insane to me. And you're going to be hearing a lot more about him. I don't think he's going to stay in Serie A for much longer. And if he does stay in Serie A, it's not going to be with Fiorentina.
Obviously, not as much of a breakout in terms of we already knew who he was, but you're probably putting Jude Bellingham in that conversation in terms of like making the move to a bigger club.
He could be the one player that Amrabat's going to go to a bigger team, but nobody is going to be sold for more than Jude Bellingham.
Right.
That to me is clear as day.
Another shout out here for the Croatian goalie. Livakovic.
Livakovic.
He's playing in Croatia. He's 27 years old. He's entering his prime. I was looking at
Bono as well. It's a good shot.
I mean, yeah. Sevilla's a big club.
But he's already being linked to Bayern Munich.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Livakovic, like, if you look at it, I was trying to find, like, where he's been linked to. Like, I was seeing, not recently, but before this World Cup, like, the highest was, like, Fenerbahce in Turkey, which is a big club in Turkey. But, like, right. I got to think he's going to get some real attention.
He's probably ready for the Dynamo.
Can I throw one more name at you? Because he's already at a massive club, but he doesn't have a massive role. Julian Alvarez. He ain't, like... Pep Guardiola doesn't really play with two strikers, and you know who the number one is going to be at Man City for the next 5 years at least, decade. It's going to be Erling Haaland. So if you're Julian Alvarez, are you saying...
I don't know if they let him go. I mean, have you heard the comments of Erling Haaland's dad? He says that he wants to play in all five leagues, all the five big leagues, and win in each of the five big leagues.
Right, but does Julian Alvarez want to wait around for Erling Haaland?
I don't know how long that wait's going to be. What I'm trying to say is I don't think City lets him go.
Okay. Ah, producer Beto says, don't worry, Erling Haaland will be heading to... No, he said Barcelona.
Oh, he say that?
Don't you... You can misquote me, but don't you dare misquote producer Betao. How dare you question my eyelashes? All right, last question here on this edition of Football Americas as we once again check dimensions. Jogotaka. You guys have been in Qatar for nearly a month. What are you guys... What are you going to miss the most after you leave? And what is the first thing you're going to do when you are back home? Hercules Gomez, what's on your list?
What's on my list? What am I going to miss the most? Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I lived in a city with so many lights. It reminds me of Vegas.
Yes.
And
yes,
I'm going to miss the walk back home. Like, the walk is very cool. It's very scenic, and it's tranquil. It gives me a little peace and lets me think. I'm going to miss the walk back home. Other than that, not a damn thing. I'm ready to get back home.
Steady, steady. So I will miss doing the show every day. You know, I really, truly, deeply love this show. I like what I do for a living. I like all the gigs I have at ESPN. But I love the show. Doing it every day has been a lot of fun. The other thing that I would say is the ability to pull in our colleagues. We had Morena Beltran. We've had so many colleagues from ESPN. They've been at our disposal.
I noticed the FC uses her now.
Yes, exactly. We open doors here at Football Americas. That's what we do. But I think they've really...
Biryani sandwiches is
added,
gonna,
yes, I'm addicted to the chicken biryani sandwich here.
Unbelievable.
In Qatar. But I think just to make the point about our colleagues, like, they've really brought another element, another level to the show. Having Osorio here with the tactical board...
It's been cool. It's funny because this is probably, I'm sure for you as well, the place that I've been away from home the longest.
Yes.
For I can't even remember how long.
Let's say 35 days, something like that.
Yeah, going back to my footballing years. But I'm ready to go back. Daddy's coming home, kids. Yes. I'm ready to go back home.
You're looking forward to being with the family for sure when we get back.
Yes.
Shout out to the families that we've left behind. We miss you a lot, and we can't wait to see you. All right, time for our parting shot here on Football Americas. We are live on ESPN Plus. This is where I'm holding this soccer ball before it rolls off the table. And our parting shot has to do with Dario Benedetto.
Dario.
A former teammate of Hercules Gomez, correct?
That's right. That's my man.
He plays for Boca Juniors now.
He's
and
captain,
he has left
capitan.
Their preseason to catch a flight to Doha for the World Cup final, Herc. I know it's not an Are You Cool With It, but what do you think of it?
I'm cool with it.
Yeah?
One, because that's my boy.
Okay.
Get to see him.
Uh-huh.
And two, because it's preseason.
We're talking about practice.
Whatever. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Ooh.
But ownership and the president, Riquelme, who you know is very exigente, very forthcoming with what he expects from the players, have allowed him to do it.
Okay.
So don't hate the player, hate the game.
All right. I love it. Because I think we don't always know that footballers are fans.
Right.
And so to see one who's, like, literally over his own career being like, nah, I got to be in the stadium for this. And we've seen the amount of people from Argentina who have come without a ticket and are just here to be here.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I get a lot of messages from players all the time asking me about Major League Soccer.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a few attempts by Major League Soccer teams to sway my man to come over there.
And
my
they've
man
rated
been,
Boca plenty times, nonetheless.
Well, when he was in Marseille. And my man is
interested?
Not at all against
he's
the
not. He doesn't hate the idea is what you're saying.
No,
all right. So maybe we'll get Dario Benedetto to MLS someday in the near future. You heard it here first from Hercules Gomez. All right, that's it for us.
Oh!
Here on Football America. Psych, something real quick.
Yeah, I just read
the
right
wrap-up
now.
Music Giroux, is happening.
Oliver Giroux is in doubt for tomorrow with a knock on his knee. Just came in.
They got to bring him back.
No,
they got to get a charter jet.
They're bringing him back.
Come on, Kareem. Kareem the dream, as Julian Laurent would have said. For Hercules Gomez, producer Betao, our awesome production team, which is truly worldwide. I'm Sebi, signing off. We will be back with the World Cup final edition of this show, 1 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow on ESPN+.